Welcome to the O Woman Podcast, where we discuss so many things related to women's sexuality, bodies, thoughts, and lives. We'll talk about everything from our relationships to our orgasms to our children and our ovaries, and we'll share outstanding experiences and ordinary ones. I'm Emma, and a big open welcome to you. Thanks for joining me for the show today. This is episode 73 of the O Woman Podcast. And today we're continuing the series that is about your sexual history. So just, if you haven't listened to the other episodes, I really encourage you to. I've done two your sexual history episodes previous to this one that had to do with factors that affect your understanding of your sexual selves. And in many cases, this can be a bit negative because maybe the experiences you had were not positive. So it's hard not to let things that are so important to you impact your life. One of the episodes that I did had to do with how your parents really affect your understanding of your sexual self. Watching them, listening to their ideas about what is okay to be sexually and what isn't okay. And then watching what they do, you know, how does that line up with what they say? And then another one is your body image, growing up in a world today where there's so many different venues for getting information about what's beautiful. Women especially are bombarded with images of the way you're supposed to look and the way you're supposed to be. And it's hard sometimes to battle the images that might not align with your body type at all, and try to just remember and believe that you're beautiful anyway. And all of this is to say that this has to do with working through things in your past that might actually be hindering you or affecting you in a negative way in the present, in your sexual life especially, because that's what we talk about here mostly on the O Woman Podcast. But in so, you know, beyond that, in your relationships, in the way you experience love and caring for someone, and your understanding even of family and things like that, they're also very related. That's why I feel like sex is such a great topic to have, you know, to be discussing, because it isn't a physical thing only. It's a thing that relates to every aspect of your life, indefinitely, forever, and unable to be separated. It's just, you know, it's always woven into the rest of your life. So today I wanted to focus on a topic that is innately negative, which is negative sexual experiences. So today I want to talk about how these negative sexual experiences shape you. And the biggest thing today is just opening up that door and feeling comfortable talking about things that maybe we've never talked about or admitted or even really understood that it could affect us. Sometimes people think if I just forget it or ignore it or pretend it didn't happen, I can move on. And that, you know, can work to some degree, but there's not really going to be any place for healing. And if you're feeling like your sexual self and your sexual life right now isn't the way you want it to be for certain reasons, it is worth looking at your sexual history and looking at the experiences you've had and things that have happened to you or with you, so that you can start to unpack some of the issues maybe that you have or that are deep-seated or maybe in the front. Maybe you know they're there, but it might be a good time to deal with it if you're looking to expand your sexual life and your sexual health and your sexual self. So, first of all, I want to start with some statistics. It's hard, really, to find statistics because, I mean, you can find them, but how accurate are they really, especially when it comes to reporting negative sexual experiences, because so many things go unreported, both with women and men, and it's really, really upsetting that things are unreported and that the bad guys and the perpetrators don't always get caught. But the more we talk about it, the more it becomes a thing, the more it's actually going to be an open topic, an open idea that people are going to be more comfortable sharing and hearing and being willing to say, you're right, you are a victim. Let's go get the bad guy and put him away because he deserves to be in jail or worse, you know. So I just want to start with a couple statistics. Approximately 1 in 4 women, this is in the U.S., all these stats are from the U.S., 1 in 4 women are going to be victims of sexual assault in their lifetime. That's 25% of women in the U.S. which is pretty unbelievable when you think about it like that. If you had four daughters, one of them is going to be sexually assaulted. Statistically, you know, not necessarily. And that is a really horrifying figure. And then you also think, I, as a woman, was born in a world where I have a 1 in 4 chance of being abused in such a way that can scar my sexual life and scar my understanding of my worth and myself. And that's a really upsetting thought that that is still so prevalent. So we spend a lot of time talking about, you know, women's rights and how far we've come, which is true, but there's still a long way to go if 1/4 of women are getting sexually abused. Men get sexually abused too, but not as often as women. And that points to something right there. It's a harsh reality and it's hard to hear, but it's important to remember that that's the case, so we don't think, oh, everything's great, everything is good. It's not. Some things have to be looked at, and it's better to look harder and scrutinize it deeper than it is to just ignore it and brush it under the rug. Whether or not you've been someone that this has happened to, it's worth talking about it. Apparently 1 in 6 women will experience an attempted or a completed rape. And that seems like a different statistic when you think about it, because that's 1 in 6, an attempted or a completed rape, and 1 in 4, a sexual assault. But if you think about it, my guess is that this idea of sexual assault isn't always going to be necessarily rape, attempted or completed rape. It could be really intense groping. It could be, you know, lewd behavior on the part of someone else coming towards you acting creepy, but maybe you never actually touched. And so there's a difference there. But they're still both horrible. So 1 in 4 women will experience sexual assault. 1 in 6 will experience an attempted or completed rape. And the really important thing to note in this case is that most rapes and most molestations with children happen by someone that that person knows and trusts, which is even more frightening, because I feel like a lot of women understand the idea of, and I feel like a lot of women are taught growing up to understand the idea of, if a stranger comes up to you as a kid, you know this, and asks you to do this, you say no, you know. Or if a stranger in a bar buys you a drink and he's creepy, or even if he's not, you know, you make sure you see the bartender pour the drink so that he can't have bought it and put a roofie in it and then given it to you. Or, you know, if you're running through the park and you see a guy in the shadows, you know how to respond. You scream, you yell if someone is going to jump out and try to hurt you. But when it's someone that you know, that you as a person have been trained to trust, and the thing is, predators, which is what people are that molest and abuse people, and not the good kind of predator, like a lion hunting a gazelle. I feel like we should even have a different word for a sexual predator. They should be something different and not even be compared to the animal world, because they're so askew from what is natural in the world, to me. But these predators know exactly how to get in your good graces and how to say the right thing, whether they're preying on children or on, you know, adult women. So, but it's harder for us to actually know how to deal with that kind of a situation, because no one thinks someone close to them is going to try to abuse them and hurt them. So when that happens, those are a lot harder to deal with, at least when it comes to figuring out it, to tell someone, because is that rape? What is that? It's someone I know, you know, it's hard to figure out. And it is, it's rape just the same as some sketchy person in the park chasing you down. So another interesting thing is that 1 in 5 women are going to be sexually abused during their college years. So if you look at the statistic of 1 in 4 women just overall are sexually abused in their lifetime, 1 in 5 are abused in their college years, you can tell most of the abuse happens during those college years. It has a lot to do, I think, with heavier drinking, a little bit looser ideas of sexuality, which is a cool thing, which is fine, but you have to have the proper amount of safety when it comes to that. And sometimes that doesn't happen because you meet new people and you're in situations where a lot of people are drunk and you don't know what you're doing, you know. So I think one of the big things is going to be educating people, educating women specifically about being safe and staying as a team and staying as a group, you know. So 17.7 million women in the U.S. then, and that's just an estimation, that's probably higher, have been sexually assaulted. That's an extreme amount. Millions and millions of women. That means there is a high likelihood that you listening to this have experienced this in your life. And it's not your fault. It is the fault primarily of the evil person that did that to you. And secondarily, the fault of the culture and society that we live in that allows such an idea to cultivate and to not be met with utter, in my opinion, almost violence afterwards. You know, the bad guy should be punished. And it doesn't always happen, and not everybody believes the victim, which is unbelievable. I can't believe that's the case, but it is. When girls were polled, high schoolers, 9th through 12th grade girls, 12% of them during that age in their life said that they've already been abused, and that could have been by a family member in a, you know, pedophilic kind of way, or it could be more by a boyfriend who's, you know, around the same age as them and not listening to saying no, that kind of thing. That's an upsetting statistic because it shows that the culture of abuse starts early with girls. And overall, most people think that only 30% of these abuses and assaults are reported. And so some aspect of the statistics are meant to correct for that, to try to really capture the real number of women and children that are hurt. But 30%, only 30% being reported is an unbelievably low number. And I think a big part of that is because we never have an open discussion about this. And I think that starts with having an open discussion about sex. Because all of the abuses that can go with sex, and all of the abuses that are just violent, evil abuses, like pedophilia, which to me isn't rooted on a sex abuse. It's just an utter soul abuse, and it is a sex abuse. But that's just one of its many horrors that it is. That we don't talk about sex, so we don't talk about enough of what's really okay and what really isn't okay. But then when the time comes, you know, someone is hurt or abused and they tell someone, they're not sure. They're like, wait a minute, was this really what happened? Am I supposed to say that this was wrong? You know, we don't discuss it enough. And I think so much of that could change if we always had an open discussion, not just on abuse and rape and assault, but on sex itself. Because the more you talk about normal sexual ideas that are respectful and fair and considerate of everyone involved in the sexual scene, then the more it's the abusive, horrible, outliers are going to stand out, and women are going to be able to recognize, especially young women, hey, that is never in any aspect of my life that I've heard that is a cool thing to do. Never is it okay. I've heard a million stories of what is okay to do sexually, but never that is one of them. So I realize that is totally wrong, and I'm going to report it. So I don't know if you're listening today and you have been a victim of abuse. Statistically, there's a chance that at least one person listening has. And if that's happened, there's got to be some residual emotions about it that you have. Maybe you found a really great way to deal with them. Maybe you've gone to a therapist or a psychiatrist and you've talked it out. Or maybe you've taught yourself to toughen up, or however your own personal coping mechanism is. But that doesn't mean that the experience didn't happen, and it doesn't mean that you are free from its effects. Everything in our life is cumulative. We remember things that happened to us, and maybe we don't make decisions based on them, but they weigh in just a little bit in the way we think about the world and the way we experience the world. And to deny that is gonna be hard for us to get to our core understanding of our sexual selves, to forget that that's something that actually does affect us. So this is kind of a hard episode, really, for me to talk about, because it's hard talking about those kind of things in people's lives, obviously. But I think it's necessary, like I said before, an open discussion of what's right and what's wrong, and things that can actually be holding you back now in your life, memories that you might have that might be hard for you to cope with, that might have shut you down emotionally or sexually or in a certain relationship situation. And whatever you're experiencing or you're feeling, it's okay. But if you are wanting to look forward and try to think of a new way to frame your life, especially in a sexual way, then it's potentially a good time for you to think about delving into some of these things that are hard. As long as you feel like you can emotionally handle it, you know, don't do anything that's going to be way too much and overload you and just give you a huge breakdown. That wouldn't be worth it. Deal with things when the time is right. And if the time is right for you now, perhaps this could be a good episode to think about it. So some of the things that are negative sexual experiences that we overlook often when we think about, how's your sex life? What's this? What's that? Let's not forget about all the things that go into what our sex life is, all the ways that we create our understanding of sex that might not be the best. One of them that I just really, I mentioned already, is rape and assault. The reality of that, the reality that 1 in 4 of us is going to experience that. So we cannot deny that that is going to affect our understanding of relationships and sex and love and rape and assault and all of those things that can weirdly get tossed into a bag together that should honestly be separate. Relationships and love and sex should be separate from all those other horrible things, but sometimes they're not. Another thing that is going to feel like a little bit less of a true invasion of your body and yourself, but still creep you out and be like, you know, have a lasting effect on you, is just creepy people in your life. Or people that you know probably would have tried to hurt you if they had been given a different opportunity or a chance or a time. I remember when I was walking home from school in high school, we had a day where we would dress up all preppy and wear red, which was the color of the opposing high school team, and pretend like we were preppy people at that other school. And I was wearing a red wig that was not totally bright red, but it wasn't really a real red. And I was wearing a red shirt, and I was wearing red high heels that at this point, I was a walker. I would walk home. And I wasn't wearing my heels anymore. I was just going barefoot walking home in my jeans and stuff because I couldn't wear those stupid things walking home. And usually I walked home with a group of friends, but on this day, I didn't. Well, I walked home halfway with them, and then we had to split off. Usually I walked all the way with one other person, but I didn't this time. I was by myself. And I was walking, and long story short, this was a really weird serendipitous. I felt like I had a lot of almost warnings and signs from nature in certain ways telling me to get home. It was really interesting. But this guy, like neighborhoods back, you know, crossing major streets and different roads, had stopped when I was still with my other friend and said, oh, do you guys need a ride somewhere? And I was like, no, because, you know, you're told never talk to strangers. So I said, no. But thank you, you know. And then I remember thinking, because I was still too nice at that age. Annoyingly, women are too nice when they're younger. I remember thinking, well, maybe he was nice enough. Maybe I could have done that. But, you know, you're not supposed to take rides from strangers. Maybe, you know. And then blocks and blocks later, crossing major streets, you know, 4-lane roads and things, I'm walking by myself. And I see that car again. And my brain just clicked on and I thought, why is the same car? How do I recognize this? I didn't pay attention to cars, but I knew that's the same car and something's wrong about this. And he saw me. He found me as I was walking home. He had been driving all around trying to find me. And I was rounding the corner onto one of the main streets right near my house. And he drove by. I was walking on the same side of the street that he would have been driving on. He drove by and he rolled down his window, and asked me again. I was like, are you sure you don't want to ride? And I was like, no. And then he went off and was so creepy. He called me these mean names. He started yelling at me, like cursing me out for not wanting to get in the car with him. It was the scariest situation ever. It was really upsetting. And luckily, I mean, I felt like I was in a safe neighborhood near my area, but, I don't even remember what I did. I think I yelled, no, get away from me, you know, something like that. And he drove away. But I don't know how I thought to remember this, but I memorized his license plate, and I'm horrible at memorizing that kind of thing. I just, like, you know, shaking, crying, repeating the license plate number. As I was walking home, I found a pen in my book bag. But I was trying to kind of run home fast to get out of there, to try to get home. And I got home and I was able to, you know, tell my parents the license plate number because I'd written it down in my hand. And they called the police, and the police came and they found the guy and they talked to him, and he was like, oh, whatever. I just was asking for a ride. I don't know what you're talking about. But I like to think that hopefully, because I reported him for being an utter fucking creep, and a complete bad guy, I know that if he had ever gotten me in his car, things would have gone really far south really fast. But I like to think that maybe I stopped him from hurting another girl that maybe couldn't say no or didn't say no, especially when he asked the second time. So, anyway, so creepy people, even if they've never touched you, you know, that kind of thing, even if you've only interacted with them one time, it's worth understanding that that can really affect you and your idea about sexuality, because I remember it made me feel so, like, asexual, like, nobody talk to me, nobody think I'm cute. It just kind of connected too much to that situation, because it was, he was blatantly wanting to interact with me in that way, in the creepiest way possible. And then on another level, imagery that you see in TV and in the media and things around you in your life can really be negative and affect you. Sometimes when I spend too much time watching a TV show that has a really dark or gray depiction of sexuality and of love and of the way relationships should go and of respecting women, I come out of it feeling really lonely and sad, and it's hard. And if Jason, you know, is in a normal mood and he's like, hey, do you want to have sex? I'm just like, no, don't touch me. It's just not allowed. And if you're a woman listening to this, you know what I'm saying, I bet, because I feel like every woman friend I've ever had that I've spoken to about this knows what I mean. They say, oh yeah, certain things just make you go, no way, sex is not an option right now. And then on top of that too, just separately, but having a bad sexual experience that isn't an assault or a rape, but having a relationship maybe where the sex is not good, or even a couple relationships where the sex is not good, or where there's no chemistry or something, it can ingrain that in your mind and think, am I just not good at having sex, or am I not sexy enough for my partner to have sex with me in a really exciting way? Or something that's gone on in your sexual life, like maybe you wanted to have an orgasm for a while and you've never been able to, or something, that then equates to you being inadequate in some way, which it's not true. You're not inadequate. You just haven't found that right key yet to open up those floodgates. And the key is there, but you have to think about some of the emotional barriers that might be standing in your way. So on that same line as bad sex, there's also having sex with someone who isn't really considerate of you or caring. So bad sex, like actually the sex was bad. It wasn't pleasing. It wasn't fun. It wasn't exciting. It wasn't anything. But differently than that would be sex where maybe the sex was good in the moment, but you realize afterwards, you're like, this guy was just using me. This person was just using me. They don't actually like me or want to talk to me. They were literally just using me for sex. And sometimes you might be in the same boat as them. You might be like, well, that's okay with me. That's all I want. But I mean, ultimately there's going to be some relationship in your life where your ideas about, sex in that moment don't align with your partner's ideas about sex, and you feel like disconnected from them, and it's not, you know, it doesn't feel right. So if you're someone who's, you know, tried at relationships, but they've never worked for you, you feel like, or you're like, man, I really want someone I really care about, but the people I pick are always idiots or assholes, or they seem really considerate and kind, and so I sleep with them, and then they turn out to just be using me. You can't just ignore that that's happened to you. You have to remember that that is a scar. That is a scar. And scars heal. And scars are very often stronger than the skin around them, because they are healed and they're a fresh patch. But it's still something that you have to address and think about. How much is that affecting my idea of if I'm worth it or not? How impressionable am I about someone who I thought was really exciting and cool and sexy and fun, thinking they were excited about me and then realizing afterwards that they just weren't at all? How does that actually affect you? How does that make you feel? Another thing that people don't always think about, but things that definitely affect your feelings about your sexuality are getting pregnant. In a sexual situation where you get pregnant and you didn't want to or you didn't mean to, that can be kind of scarring and hard to deal with, and it can kind of put a damper on your sexual interest because of a fear that you'll get pregnant again. And with that goes abortion. Abortion can be hard to go through, and I am totally pro-choice. If you do not want to have a child, you should not have a child. It is your decision. It is your body. You are an entity that is allowed to make decisions related to what goes on inside of you. But still, it's going to be a hard thing to do, and it should never be easy, because it's such an emotional task. But that can be something that can be hard for you to get over. Maybe an unwanted pregnancy and an abortion that you regret having to have, but you just knew you weren't going to be the right kind of mother right now. Also, you know, being pregnant and wanting a baby and losing a baby, having a miscarriage or a stillbirth or a really difficult labor, really hard experience with that. So all of these things, because they're related to our bodies and our concept of our woman's self, our body parts that are specifically feminine and all of our sexual organs, they're going to be related. Those scars that may be emotional scars, maybe physical scars, there's a muscle memory to even an emotional scar. And it is a, when you go in a certain place that reminds you, it's trigger. I bet you know what I'm talking about. Everything has a trigger. It can cut that on again and make you remember things that you're like, why am I thinking of this right now? This is a separate thing. I know it's really common in childbirth setting for women who have been sexually abused in the past to have a harder labor at certain points during the labor, because they, without even thinking that it would be connected, connect their abuse to the pressures and the pains and the strange feelings that they're feeling in their uterus and their body and their genital region. And you know, if you don't know that in advance going into it, it's going to be harder to cope with. But knowing in advance that that's something you're going to have to cope with is going to help you, just because you're at least going to be given time to think about what you think is going on, what you think the scar is, how deep you think it is, and what you need to do to heal. Because I believe that a person honestly knows the best thing for them. You just need time, and you need to be brave, and you need to actually spend energy thinking about it. And always ask for help if you need it. Speak with a professional or a friend or a parent or anybody that you trust that you need to talk to about this. Talk to them, share whatever you need to do to get help. If that requires 15 people on your team helping you work through some of the things that bother you and that are hard for you, then do it. If that includes no one, then do it that way. Do what works for you. But please don't forget about things that have happened in your past that are negative. And please, most of all, don't think that they define you sexually, that they mean anything about you sexually, because they do not. On the continuum of an unwanted pregnancy or an abuse or an assault or just having, you know, never having good sex with a partner, never having good sexual partners, none of those things say anything about your character and who you are. They only say things about your experiences and how those can inform your understanding about sex. But now that you know they impact you, you can consciously decide to work towards opening up your understanding of who you are and putting one foot in front of the other and creating a new history for yourself that is, of course, going to be steeped in the past a little bit, but is going to have a wise understanding about the past and realize what you can, how you can grow and what you can learn from the things that you've experienced, even if they're hard and even if they're bad and tough. I want to thank you for listening to the show today. As always, I love talking with you guys. I'm really enjoying this Your Sexual Self series. I feel like we're going to really be able to touch on a lot of detailed aspects of our sexuality, so that we're not leaving really anything out. We might be leaving out, you know, little individual experiences that are important, but the beliefs and the feelings that come with them, I think we're going to be able to touch on a lot of those. The hurt and the fear and the happiness and the joy, I think we're going to be able to really tap into that with this series. Just want to remind you real fast at the end, make sure you're checking out the Facebook page, A Woman Podcast. Make sure you're checking out the website, owomanpodcast.com. And please check out the episode archives. Look at old episodes. Try to catch up on some things maybe you haven't heard yet, so that if you enter the discussion, you want to ask questions or send me an email or write a comment about ideas for a show you want to hear, you're gonna know all the info that I've said before and be able to call out stuff you don't agree with and be able to think of ways that you want the show to change to cater to your interest, you know, things like that. So thank you so much for listening, as always, and I can't wait to talk to you guys tomorrow. Bye.